Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to season two of Podcast in a Tree with myself, Tim Batt.
And myself, Guy Montgomery.
He's there. You waited just long enough to step in that I thought, he's not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Well, it's fun to muck around.
Yeah.
It's fun to sort of tease you.
Yeah.
But I think it's important people know my name as well. Mm. As important as yours.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
That's why, in the pause where I thought yours wasn't forthcoming, I was rushing in to make sure someone let the people know. Guy Montgomery is here.
Yeah, it's the two of us.
Everybody, put down your weapons. Guy is here.
Yeah, and I'm wearing a yellow t-shirt.
It's nice to be in Podcast in a Tree. This is part of the transition period, I would call it, of our post-OG worst idea life.
I think this is where, right now, this is where we're meant to be.
Yeah.
And there have been times where I felt like this is not, maybe it was where we're meant to be, but it's not where I want to be. And so I think what I'm finding gratifying is being where I want to be and yeah, where I think we need to be.
Okay, great.
Which is this tree. And
you'll be able to hear a bit of ambiance.
Yeah.
And what you'll be treated to.
Brian Eno is producing this season.
Yes. And what Brian has added in to us to give a real authenticity of being in an urban environment, cityscape, is a bit of traffic noise, a bit of hustle and bustle, hubbub.
Some birds chirping. We're surrounded by trees that are not unlike the one we're sitting in.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of sort of long, thick, horizontal branches that are great for climbing and sitting. And it's but just outside of this sort of park we find ourselves in, we're surrounded by buildings.
Oh, there's so many. We're in a little dome of tree.
I'd call it an enclave.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
A little garden
and
enclave.
And it's higher than you thought.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little slightly unbalanced.
Are you?
It's just keeping me ever so slightly on edge. Yeah. Not as much as when I did the turnaround. When you climb a tree when you're an old man such as we are now, there's a lot of sort of quite unflattering shimmying going on. And then there comes the time, because you do it very safely, and then there comes the time when you've got to do the turn to sit properly on the branch. And I tell you what, that turn was scary business.
I hope we've been rolling on the climb. I hope we can get a montage of the unflattering shimmy, as you
think,
call it.
I think there's some footage there that we can cut to.
Because once you're sitting, you do feel stable, solid, but certainly the getting up was a little scary. And then famously, what's more scary than getting up a tree can be getting down a tree.
Yes, I'm not looking forward to that. But at the end of the day, I think, were we to fall off of this branch, it wouldn't rock, but we wouldn't
die. You'd get ground shock.
Yeah, you roll out of that. Your training would kick in, surely, and you'd roll right out of that, right?
My training.
Your training.
Yeah. I've been training, by the way, just for this sort of situation.
Yeah.
I was trying to deduce what type of tree this is. I think this is what does the word deciduous mean?
It's the opposite of evergreen, so it's when it loses its leaves.
It's nothing to do with that.
Okay.
It's an introduced tree. What's the opposite of native?
Ah. Yeah, introduced. Great word.
Oh, well, I think...
endemic, I think, is when it's only in the place, right?
See, there's lots of lovely words around this area.
Yeah.
And there's certainly...
We're picking them off the shelf. We're having a look. Yeah. We're going, ooh, I don't know how this one works.
There'll be ecological listeners who are saying, these turkeys don't know they're, you know, they're trees from their arseholes.
Yeah. But we do. Here's the thing. We actually do.
It's my arsehole's on the tree.
It's been three...
Through two bits of fabric.
3 years since we did Naked Pod in a Tree as an idea for season three. It introduces a lot of danger, I think. What's really not a super safe thing. Yeah, I find that really funny. Nudity with shoes and socks. Yeah. That's crack up. But it is actually quite practical.
I don't know that anyone wants that.
No, that's quite right. It's been
climbing is, you'd be privy to some serious, you want to talk about an unflattering shimmy.
Oh boy, some angles. But also just some danger.
Yeah.
Shimming across. 3 years is what I'm trying to get to the bottom of. 3 years since we did our last season of Podcast in the Tree. So much has changed.
Yeah.
And in some ways, so much has stayed the same.
Yeah,
we're just, at the end of the day, two guys in Tamaki Makaurau trying to make it work and treated to some beautiful weather.
Yeah, it's the hottest summer in the history of Auckland so far.
That must be a good thing.
Well, if you could get that, you know, if we could just stop it here.
Yeah.
If there was just some way we could say, this is nice.
I was telling you this morning in the car, I sort of woke up with a bit of anxiety this morning just because there's a lot of things going on. And then for some goddamn reason, I watched like a science video on recent research and climate change while I was having my breakfast. Shouldn't have done that.
Do you know,
breakfast was pretty good.
I try not to watch videos in the morning. I tend not to watch any, I try to stay off screen. I've got to do my daily word puzzles. That is something I'm doing first thing in the morning. And... you know, sometimes you got to email, you got to do some work. But generally speaking, I'm trying to stay off the screen. Like, unless there's a sports highlight. Okay, so I'm watching sports highlights in the morning some of the time.
Nothing wrong with that.
But I'm not watching.
Sports aren't going to put you
I'm
on.
Not looking up videos about global warming.
I'm not looking them up anymore. Breakfast. I've done enough looking up. Now the algorithm's like, this one? I'm like, that looks interesting.
The algorithm recently started giving me... I was going to start climbing trees. It's taking me some pretty extreme suggestions.
Like?
The world's highest cliff dive. 58 metres.
Wow. 58.
The guy hits like 120 kilometres per hour.
Oh, that makes me so sick. Even being a little bit off the ground hearing that makes me feel so sick.
He goes so fast.
120 kilometres an hour.
And then at the end, he puts his feet together.
Yeah.
You got to put your feet together or you'll get too much water up your bum. And it will come out your mouth.
Wow.
That might not be true, but doesn't that feel like it could be true?
The physics of it all sounds so painful. I was on a boat the other day.
Okay, you go first.
I was on a boat for a birthday party, which can I say, it's a great idea.
Well, you know, some people have boats all the time.
That's nuts to me. No one should have a boat.
Really?
Mm. I feel the same way about, you know, swimming pools, even though I've got a swimming pool.
No one should have a swimming pool.
No one should have a swimming pool. Swimming pool should be solely a public good. No one should have an individual swimming pool. I say that as somebody who has a swimming pool.
What about, I mean, it's easy to...
I've always had this opinion, though.
It's like pulling the ladder up.
No more
swimming
pools. This isn't a recent adoption of an opinion. I've been boxed into a hypocritical corner.
Yeah. So, but you were on a boat.
Oh, yeah. And someone was bungee jumping as we went... through the bridge. It was really cool. We all cheered them on.
I've done that bungee jump.
How was it?
I did it backwards. So I'd done one before where you're facing front. I did it backwards and that felt scarier.
Yeah.
I can remember the feeling in my tummy, the lurching feeling in my tummy.
When I went skydiving, I went the guy, because I think I had this weird thing where I just sort of like clicked off to it. I was just excited. I was never nervous about it until we got to altitude on the plane. You know, like weeks before and days before, everyone's like, you nervous? I was like, nah, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was on the plane, I was like, it's just occurred to me what this is.
Yeah, you're gonna jump out of the plane.
And I think because I've been playing it so cool, because I hadn't reckoned with it, the guy I was strapped to was fucking with me. And so we fell out of the plane backwards. And when you've got, you're back to the earth and you're traveling that quickly, it's pretty scary stuff.
Yeah. Well, so this is, and so I've got so many things I want to say, which is two.
Okay.
And neither of them are interesting.
I'll be the judge of that.
The first one is that when I was talking about hitting the water when you jump from high and you want to, you know, you got to clench your butt.
Yes.
And that's a feeling I actually enjoy and have been doing a bit recently, is clenching my butt.
Yeah.
Because I now have 4 tattoos on my butt.
Yeah.
And one of the great motivations to keep my butt taut is these tattoos. I don't want this is vanity, but I don't want the skin to stretch too much and then for the tattoos to become distorted.
Sure.
And so quite often, if I remember I have tattoos on my butt, I will I'll drop trowel and I'll look in the mirror and I'll be like, are these still taut? Are these all looking right? Are these all in the right scale?
Is there vanity? I guess it's I don't know where vanity, you know, begins and ends and meets pride in one's appearance. It's through there.
Yeah. I mean,
what's the trouble with
it's all bespoke to the person, isn't it?
Yeah. And then, oh boy, having a little cough when you're up this high, even scary.
Because
you want to like lean forward to cough, but I don't want to lean forward.
When I did a recce on this tree, I got up here and I was singing and I thought, this feels really high.
Yeah.
And then I went down on the ground and I looked at how high it was. I was like, that's not, like, the difference in how it feels and how it looks from the ground. Have you ever been in the water?
I have.
You know how little waves look from the shore?
Yeah.
And then you go in the water and you're like, these waves are the biggest waves I've ever seen.
Yeah.
There are no waves bigger than these.
Perspective.
Yeah.
Height's a really weird one for that. Really weird.
Hey,
it's time for our first segment.
I'm itching for it.
Our first segment is the return of Drugs in a Tree.
Yeah. Now, do you know when we first did this podcast, there was a place I would go to buy beer sometimes.
Yes.
And one of the people that worked there said to me, I've been listening to your new podcast, Drugs in a Tree. And I thought, that's not what it's called, but I can see how you think that's what it is.
I've had multiple people tell me the same thing.
Yeah.
That is the name of this series. And that's cool, man. If that's what you want to call it, go for gold.
Yeah.
I'm not going to correct you.
For us, it's just...
Drugs in a Tree are a part of.
Yeah, podcasting in a tree. Which I guess in itself is just part of being in a tree.
Yeah.
Also, you know, for those of you fortunate enough to see the tree and see what we're doing right now, you'll observe we're off the handhelds. That's safe. Osh would love that.
That's a good point.
Pretty much
every recording we've ever done for the last decade, we've had handheld microphones. Except today, for some reason, I decided to bust out the lapels. I think because I thought it would make it a bit easier to be in a tree and do drugs in a tree and just exist in a tree.
This is quite a business-like tree to be doing drugs in, but the drug we have selected today is a business drug.
It's
a drug.
Crack cocaine.
Yeah. No. It helps you make fast decisions correctly.
Yes.
Which is what everyone...
Should I buy this bank?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, matter of fact, it's an even more... Now, I want to say endemic, Tim. This is another word I'm taking off the shelf to look at.
Go with God.
Is that allowed?
Well, I don't know what the rest of the sentence is. I mean, you're allowed to do whatever, man.
It's more of an endemic drug. It's caffeine.
Yeah.
Have you had any of this drug today?
None.
And how often do you have this drug generally?
Okay. Caffeine, no kidding. And people who have listened to this podcast will know this. I quite enjoy drugs. I think they're a good time.
Yeah.
I honestly think caffeine's my fave.
Really?
Yeah.
It'd be the last one you would give up.
Yeah, I think so.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
What happens if you forget to have caffeine?
Well, I do sometimes because I like it so much that then my body gets used to it and then I'll like forget to have a coffee and then I'll get a headache and I don't want to be addicted to anything.
You binge and purge.
I don't binge as much anymore.
You binge and purge big time.
Wait. Oh, you're purging to get rid of it. Okay, yeah.
That's no healthier than just being addicted outright, isn't it?
I don't know. You could be right, but at least the addiction is interrupted for a bit, for like, you know, 2 months or something. I'll go no coffees. And I try to just go one coffee a day these days.
Your body will be
doesn't
like sweet respite.
Yeah.
Shit's coming out solid.
Yeah.
Sleep's regular. Everything's groovy.
Well, the sleep thing I have gotten on top of, because I used to be quite psychotic and have coffees so late in the day. There's something a little bit European about an 8 p.m. espresso, though. There's something a bit delightfully Italian about
it. They have a different constitution. They can handle it. You know what I always think about, Tim, when I think about us, you and I, and us as a country,
yeah,
and a people.
Guy Timland.
Well, we're not European, like Mediterranean Europeans are. We're European of descent in that we're Pakeha. We're yes. But think about when we went to one of our trips to Los Angeles, and we were flying back to New Zealand, and we got off the plane, and he said, "Oh, we're back in the land of the potato people." And I think about it, probably monthly. I think about
that. I might have gotten that turn of phrase from Matt Heath, from memory.
Wow.
I think he might have coined that. Friend of the pod, Matt Heath. Yeah, there's something to it though, isn't there?
Well, I just think a potato person can't have an espresso after 8 o'clock because it's just going to stain the potato.
Yeah. It'll ruin the potato.
It's just different. Anyway, I've had two Mocha Masters and one oat flat white already today.
Really?
This is my fourth coffee.
It's early right now.
Yeah, I got up at 6:15.
You just were like, I'm going to get everything
I
done.
I got up at 6:15 and then realised I'm not allowed to go on a screen and just started drinking coffee.
Wow, that's cool. Do you like that though? Do you like overloading on coffee from time to time?
No, I don't at all.
Oh no.
And I've already done...
You've already pushed it.
I've already pushed something out,
Pose you're talking about.
Yeah.
Classy.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
So for me,
yeah,
an iced oat latte. For Tim,
an oat flat white. I'm almost certain I brought this up last time we were doing podcast in a tree and did the caffeine one, but just in case
did we do caffeine in a tree last time?
Yeah, I think we did for one of the episodes. It's an important drug. The world we live in is run on caffeine and cocaine. So it's for a long time. And I think it would go a lot better if we were a mushrooms and weed society.
I like this thought. Do you genuinely think the world is run on cocaine?
Yeah, coffee and cocaine. It's like, everything's like up, 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 pip, 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 quick, buy a bank.
Are powerful people more likely to be teetotalers or users?
Now, I can't answer that directly, but what I will say is the leaders who are teetotalers, I cannot trust.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you have your hands so firmly gripping the wheel that it makes me super nervous about everything. That's one of the scariest aspects of Donald J. Trump. Lovely spot to see. Thank you.
Thank you.
You too, brother. Don't you think that the scariest, well, one of the many very scary things about Trump is that he just like, no booze, no nothing.
I know, and the unvarnished truth. But he's not teetotaling there. He's got to be on, he's on.
That's a good point.
Like, you know, and I think these people qualify if it's not illegal. So if it's an over-the-counter opioid or upper,
yeah,
they still think, nah, I'm clean. Even though I'd say it's probably having a more detrimental effect to their cognitive function than, say, just every fourth weekend having some psychedelics.
Yeah.
But anyway, that helps, I think. It gives perspective to the, you know, the universality of experience.
Do you know a joke I wrote once, which I never thought got what it deserved, was...
Great preamble.
I enjoy an acid weekend from weekend to weekend.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a tidy line. Never quite felt it got what it deserved.
It's a funny thing, isn't it? Jokes. Trying to get, what do you do in that situation? I've got jokes where I've said them.
I just keep running them.
Yeah. Do you change nothing?
No, I change everything around them. So I say, okay, I'll put all this padding around for you. I know these ones are funny for everyone, but I'm going to keep saying this one for me because I think it's pretty crack up.
And then does it ever come right?
Very rarely. Every now and then the bat will connect with the ball.
Yeah.
But it won't.
There's a joke I was doing at open mic, so I couldn't get any laughs about Maybelline. So if it turns out she was born with it, they had some nerve putting their name in the mix. And no one would laugh. And I would say every time afterwards, I'd say, that's going to be a joke. You'll see. And I wrapped a lot of jokes around it to sort of trick the audience, I guess. But that, I elevated that to joke status. So to all the doubters, I'd like to say...
Address the camera guy.
Yeah, I am.
Camera one.
Which one is camera one?
That one.
Yeah. I'd like to say, fuck you and your dumbass comedic tastes.
Take that
James Acaster joke where he's like, talks about how he knows the most about comedy and has to get approval from the people who know less than how demoralizing it is.
That's very good.
He's clever, isn't he, that guy?
Hope he's doing well, James.
Hey, now, mid-drug, I suppose, I've brought something along for us to... experience, review, I guess. We ate a lot of sandwiches in the first season.
Damn right.
And what I thought I'd do this time is I describe this as not a pre-sandwich, something I traditionally will have before a sandwich, uh-huh. If I'm feeling European.
Yeah.
This is an almond croissant. Now, I've got this almond croissant from a bakery on Mount Eden Road.
Dude. So, as you know, we've been listening back to season one episodes, and the almond croissant is something that has permeated from the very earliest days of the podcast. There's two things you can set your watch to with worst idea of all time. Guy and Tim watching a bad movie, and almond croissants finding their way in the mix.
Well...
I'm so delighted it's
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah. How could it not be? So...
Thank you, sir.
Now, I don't, you know, this is like a test.
Can I take a bite?
Yeah, yeah, you can eat as much as it if you want. It's yours. This is a control croissant, I guess. Like, you know, I haven't had an almond croissant probably all year. So I'm sure on entry, I'm just going to like it for being an almond croissant. I'm going to like it for who it is.
I can already tell you, though, it's not the number one almond croissant I've ever had.
Okay.
It's yum. It's an almond croissant, but...
What elevates an almond croissant for you?
At Cazador, there is a moistness within the flakiness.
Yeah.
That just... I'll say that as someone who's not crazy about almond croissants, though you wouldn't be able to pick it.
No, not the way you're talking about them right now.
In-depth critique. But all the loves of my life love an almond croissant. Guy Montgomery, my wife Zoe.
Yeah.
She loves an almond croissant.
I think this is good. I know what you mean, like... What's that almond filling called? I want to say it's marzipan, but it's not.
I know what you mean. It's not quite butter. I wonder if the new microphones make it more or less disgusting to talk.
That's a form of misophonia you have, eh? Have you watched a food show?
I mean, the cooking is all good. I like a chop, chop, chop. And I like a,
but
you
what
know,
about, how
peel,
do they
peel,
do the
peel?
Audio mix when they do the mouthfuls?
I'm thinking of Nigella Lawson just being like, basically having an orgasm while testing a teaspoon of chocolate sauce.
One way to cover up the smacking lip sounds.
Yeah, exactly.
So have a screaming orgasm.
Noisy mouth, or am I coming at this pudding?
Yeah.
I'm coming at this pudding.
Fellas have the most pathetic orgasms, eh? They're so quiet.
Yeah.
It's like they're trying to keep a secret.
Though, perhaps not the Italians.
Have you made an Italian man come, Tim?
Not yet. Not yet.
I want you to score this out of 5.
3.
Wow.
You?
Three's too low, man.
You reckon?
3.5. It's 3.5 armor for some. They're worse.
I'm holding steady.
Okay.
But I'm really enjoying it. And I appreciate you getting it and bringing it.
What's 6.5 out of 10 divided by 2?
3.75.
No, 3.25.
Oh, wait, what did you say again?
6.5. 3.25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
Yeah.
Let me show you, man. It's okay.
Man.
Don't show hard on yourself, dude.
Math, though. Forget about it. What do you think of the city at the moment, Guy? I haven't been spending very much time at all in this town of ours recently.
Well,
I feel a little disconnected from the central city.
I actually have. I went for a walk through the central city yesterday. And the sun was shining. And there were sort of a few people mixing and mingling around. I went into a fantastic bookstore. I bought a book. Then I went to like we're not known for our alleyways, but I went to a little pub down an alleyway and I had a pint while I read my book. And I was by myself. I was truly by myself.
Sounds like a hot day.
And I was thinking,
like a shit hot
this
day.
Is like really good, is what I was thinking. And also I was enjoying the city, which is not something I'm never in the city, really. It's a funny thing where, you know, they're building a lot of train stations, I understand, but they've been doing it for so long I've forgotten that there's an end goal. I just assume that, you know, like the areas where the train stations will be, to me, are just permanent construction sites. So when the surprise, the reveal, when they say, we were actually building something.
We're like, what?
That's going to feel remarkable. That's what I think.
It's going to be an incredible day, and it's going to happen in something like 2 years.
What's that?
Maybe a year.
Yeah.
They've been going for a phenomenally long amount of time. And you're right, this city's just in a permanent state of, all big cities are, but this city in particular, it got hit hard.
I just think...
Tried to build a train the same time COVID hit out.
I just miss... What I wish there was more of is people walking. That's what the city lacks.
Yeah.
And then maybe that's what I was enjoying yesterday, was people were walking.
Speaking of your delightful pub excursion with a book, the bit of Auckland I'm living in now, West Auckland, is controlled, the booze is, by this board.
Yeah.
And I think I want to free up some time to take these guys down.
Really?
Yeah. Everything I'm finding out...
What's their problem?
We got a fucking situation out here in West Auckland.
What's the deal?
So, unlike anywhere else in New Zealand, they've got this incredibly restrictive alcohol licensing board, and it seems to be like 9 people sitting on this board, and the chair earns like $1 million a year to be the chair of this board. And they're getting away with it because they dish out a little bit of money to charities in the neighborhood, but it's stopping any small bars or independent breweries starting up. You can't buy booze at the supermarket.
Yeah.
So then Countdown just make a wine store opposite the Countdown supermarket. And the only 2 people benefiting, it seems to me, are the monopolies, the big supermarkets, who can afford to like get this big expensive liquor license, and these people they're paying their money to. Something's got to be done about this guy.
You're the guy.
I've moved in now. There's a new sheriff in town.
Can I ask, in the last 3 years, how many trees have you been up?
0.
Really?
Since we last...
did this?
That's a lie. Maybe 2. I reckon I did some climbing and I've forgotten about it when I was with some high school buddies at one of our famous get-togethers.
Yeah, they are famous. It's always in the news.
Yeah. Let them write, I say. Let them record it.
Well, not a lot else to say in this tree for me, Tim.
No, I don't think so. So time to review the tree. I'm giving climbability a 3.5, same as what you gave the Armour Croissant. Wow. Although you went down to 3.25, didn't you?
That was the average of our scores.
Oh, yeah. 3.5 for me. Beauty? 4. It's a stunning tree. It's got very old branches and new growth coming off of it. Something quite awesome about that. Can't recall what the other metrics were, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on this tree, guy.
I mean, this has got to be a 4 for climbability. I think your bravery is what you're reviewing negatively there.
I think
this is, as far as climbable trees go, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 offshoots from the central trunk that are climbable. How many trees can you say
but
that for?
See, here's the problem, guy. They're just one central big offshoot, but there's not enough complexity to hold on to stuff.
Up there, you can shimmy up there. Yeah. You can go up. You can go up higher. You can go out further.
I'll try and get a shot on the cell phone camera. What guys
beauty,
talking about?
It's hard not to factor in the surrounds. So it's hard to analyze a tree just for the tree it is, isn't it?
You're talking about this bit, huh? You're talking about this bit here for climbability.
I think I'll give it a 4 for beauty. This is a 4-star tree.
A 4-star tree.
Yeah.
Overall. There you have it, folks. We've started oh so strong on the first episode of Podcast in a Tree. Thanks for joining us.
Are you feeling high?
I'm feeling a bit more peppy, yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
You can actually feel the caffeine taking hold.
Absolutely, I can. This is the other thing. If I got stung by a bee, I'd just have to I'd fall to my broken leg.
Can you just
leg.
Take the sting?
I would try to, but, you know.
Are you aging? Is this podcast about you getting old?
We're all getting old, man.
Not me.
Really?
Nah.
I told you, I woke up, I was feeling a bit tense. Mm. And I think I'm bringing that to the tree.
I'm going to extend my prime.
Fuck you, dude.
I'm just going to do it. I don't know how. I'm not making any changes to my diet or lifestyle, really.
Pretty healthy guy.
I'm pretty healthy. I could be a lot healthier. But then you're sacrificing lifestyle.
Mm.
For example, I don't need to do a giant rock of crack cocaine every morning.
However, these banks aren't going to buy themselves.
That's right.
And here we are.
Who owns the banks?
It's a question for another day. I started wrapping this up ages ago.
I reckon I started wrapping it up.
That's true. But you've introduced some interesting veins
that
I don't have a huge amount of propensity to explore.
That's okay. I got sleep in my eyes.
Oh, boy. Guy's going to get that out. And we'll catch you guys in the next episode of Podcast in Tree Season 2.
We'll see you in the next tree.
See you there.
With a guest.
Oh!
We're going to have a guest. It's not just going to be us.
Okay.
It's going to be a third person. They're not allowed in the tree, though.
Okay. Guest on the ground.
Guest on the ground
is pure.
Always.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. SoCal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.